One person after another like that. Unbelievable mission.
The person that's blown up by bus, by an Arab on a bus, that's for sure doesn't mean in any way that it's just bad luck. It's unbelievable, says Yishmael, how Kodesh Baruch Hu took some people off the bus and put some people on the bus. There's a man, Nebuch, there's a sofa on a Chof Meir Sha'arim. Fifth or sixth sort in the left hand side as they come down from Kikah Shabbos. He has a Chofshi, and he went to Bar Mitzvah there by Seville in the corner. And, you know, so Chofshi guys had to go up on the back doors. The bus was full, the bus driver didn't let him go in the front. So he was lucky enough, since he had a Chofshi, to squeeze another bus at the back, and he was killed. Yeah? And my cousin was on that bus. A boy from Gateshead. My cousin on that bus. He had some money that his parents sent him from Gateshead. A boy asked him if he can borrow it. So he lent him the money. The guy gave him a check. The 2 days before that, he put a check in the bank. And that day, he needed to go get the money from on the Chof Shifte Yisrael, as a bank there, Mercantile Discount Bank. So he lent him to Otzmeir. So he's going to, instead of going all the way to Otzmeir, he said, you know what? Let's take some money out of the bank. He got off the bank, he got off the bus, and literally 15 seconds later the whole bus blew up. He's standing next to the suicide bomber. Mama, she's standing in the middle of the bus next to the suicide bomber. He was saved. Every single person is bashet. Kail imuna ve'ein avol. And therefore, the more we involve ourselves in the Jewish nation, the more we're needed by people, the more security we have that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have life insurance. The Chofetz Chaim, when he was very ill, and he was very old, he told people still to come to visit him and to ask him shaylos and to get him involved in Klal Yisrael, because as long as he's needed by Klal Yisrael, Hashem can't take him. My father-in-law told me that Rabbi Eliashiv is in hospital now in intensive care. People are still coming in day and night to ask him shaylos, and he's answering. I mean, he's perfectly conscious, he's fully conscious. Obviously he can't go into intensive care just walking in and out, but there's people with things going in and out sending him shaylos, and he answers. He's answering shaylos. That's part of the life insurance. You know, he's needed. People coming in day and night. Hashem can't take him away. That's atinu som hayom kulkum fnei Hashem alekeichem. It's got to be the security we have is if we're all together and som hayom kulkum, then we have a chance to be fnei Hashem alekeichem. Klal Yisrael will never be wiped away. If we're part of the klal, we have insurance.
So, what do we say about all the exceptions?
Sorry?
All the people who are now actually taking the Tibor and so many emails and studying and doing wonderful things and also things I'm doing.
Good. So I didn't want to mention that. The
Shinsky, the RJ Vera.
I said spoke about just now. The Pasuk says, in last week said, the Pasuk says, Gam kol chayle v'chol makeh asher lo yikaseh v'sefer Torah hazoyt. Yala Hashem alecho. Even the curse is not brought down in this Sefer Torah, I will bring upon you. Says the Medrash, what's that? Zu Misa Tzadikim. That's the death of Tzadikim. So, there's many, many different shots in behind that. But Pshat, according to what I'm saying, is that if a Tzadik dies and Klal Yisrael needs him, means that everybody deserves to get that kind of punishment connected to that person. Which means all the Mirror guys who would have benefited from a Shnitzel on Shabbos deserve to have that kind of punishment as well. It means Hashem took them all into account and said, you know what, I'm going to punish each and every one of these mirror guys as well. They also deserve something. And therefore the klal of Klal Yisrael of having one of the Gedolim dying means the whole Klal Yisrael are actually going to suffer as well, and Hashem doesn't care about that. The whole Klal Yisrael deserves to be punished. That is the biggest curse. When the whole Klal Yisrael suffers, and Kodesh Baruch Hu feels that we all deserve to be punished, that's the biggest klal.
How's that power on one person
though? That person is the representative, and he's the cause of all these people to suffer. I'm sorry?
Are you implying that the Gedolim should never die?
If the Gedolim die, you should know first of all the Gedolim is Shloka Derech HaTeva, how long the Gedolim live. Shloka Derech HaTeva, for a person like a Pshach, with all the strain and the stress and their malnutrition and hard work and no nights and no days and problems and worries and everything else, but a man that lived to 107, it's shloka derech hateva. Rabbi Eliashiv, he's 95, he's giving shir every single night. My father went to shir on Thursday night. Perfect, mamish, fine. It's shloka derech hateva. and the Klal Yisrael need gedolim. Obviously, Hashem's not going to keep the Rambam alive for 800 years. It has to be there's some form of Meiva Esrim, you know. But as long as we need gedolim, there is a certain tzvira in the Kodesh Baruch Hu to allow the gedolim to be with us. And we need them terribly. Chas v'shalom, if gedolim goes, the worst klala. No, Israel has not looked the same since Rishach has left us. Mamash, Israel is the source we have in Israel today is nothing like we had beforehand. Same only because of Rishach, but you can see one gedolim after another. Terrible things happen. Okay, I want to move on. The Pasuk says, in Pasuk Tezayim, V'tir yeshu kritzeihem v'eskilu lehem eitz v'even kesev v'zov ha'shem o'hem. Just remind you briefly that this particular parasha happened, if you look in the parasha, it's parashas Nitzavim, Shlishi of parashas Nitzavim. This was a day, Shlishi of parashas Nitzavim 2 years ago was September 11th. And I opened up the Chumash and I just wanted to see if there's any remez in the parasha of September 11th. Ki atem yidatem, I'll just read it up, keep looking for you. Ki atem yidatem esa sheyishavnu be'eretz Mitzrayim. Ve'es asher varnu bekerev ha'goyim asher vartem. Vatiru eshikutseihem, ve'eskululeihem, eitz va'evem, kesev v'zov asher imohem. V'hoyo b'shom es divra ha'ola ha'zois. V'isporach b'vavoy. So say to himself, we went through Mitzrayim and we saw all the gold and silver, all the big buildings. And he said that Matisyahu Salomon, for the Zion Gazon, should be well. He said in 3 days before the Twin Towers collapse, he says, people in America, you're being too quiet. You're not davening hard enough. You think everything's going to be fine? Chas v'shalom, what could happen to us? The whole America got up in flames in a few minutes if Hashem wants it to. Wake up! I'm sorry?
He said it could be that these twin towers could fall.
He said that?
Yeah.
I'll be okay, buddy. Hashem will... What's that, Joel? Doesn't sound anything. God yesh and af Hashem v'kenosu. Hashem will burn his anger. Be'isha hu b'rob seboi kol ha'olo. U'mocha Hashem eshumoi. Mitachas ha'shumoi. Skyscraper. Mitachas ha'shumoi. Hashem will wipe it down from under the heavens. Tachas ha'shumoi. It's mamish. No, but it's touching the heavens. It's mamish. It's just. It's a skyscraper. The name skyscraper means tachas ha'shumoi. Mamish next to the heavens. The goyim will come from all over. Unbelievable. Anyway,
Not necessarily.
But the feeling there of Shalom Yehli, the Shri Sibi Eilech, you know, the suicide bombers in Israel. But in America, I got my portfolio, I have my shrink, I'm fine. This is it. Rabbi Meir used to say, the only thing a shrink does, it shrinks your pocketbook.
Yeah.
Anyway, the kitzur. The Pasuk says, in Pasuk Tezayin, Vatirish who could say him as good alehem, Eitz v'edan kesla zov ashrei moim. And you'll see that she could say him the abominations and disgusting things, eitz v'edan of wood and stone, kesla zov ashrei moim. Says Rashi Tezayin, Vatiru, as she could say him, Al shame shahoyim usim kishkotzim, because they're disgusting like creepy crawlies. Gidulehem shahoyim musrochim, they stunk. Um usim kagolol, and then mottles like. Thank you, David. And what did he say? Because you saw these disgusting things, I'm going to make you make a shavua that you won't follow them. Asks about all the banim. Let's ask this. 1 second. You see disgusting things. You see how filthy and horrible these things are. I'm going to make a shavua. I'm not going to do them. Other rabbi, if I haven't seen them and I think there's something good out of there, then perhaps I need a shavua. But I've seen how disgusting. I've seen how empty it is. I need to make a shavua on this. So they say, if you go into a room where it's smoky, you stink of smoke. Nobody likes the smell of smoke. But if you hang around long enough, it rubs off. Any person who goes around and he's in a place where there should could say me good alehem. Anything you've seen, every place you go, every person you meet makes an effect on you. There's no such thing. The Rambam says there's no such thing as a person going anywhere that does not make effect on him. Anything he sees makes effect on his neshama, good or otherwise. And therefore, just seeing bad things can make an impression on a person that can never leave them. The Tamil Chachamim, the Gedolim, they don't allow radio personally. I'm not up to the level, I don't have a radio in my house. But just hearing of crimes somehow allows a person to be more callous to tragedies. There's a teacher in my school, a rabbi in my school, who doesn't have a radio. And I came to school and I told him about the King's Cross fire. You also remember that? The King's Cross fire, how many people died there? A few hundred people died. They had a big fire in the King's Cross underground station. It's one of the busiest underground stations in London. And I came into school, and people were talking about it. We were all shocked. Everyone was shocked. And he came. He was white. He's mummish white. He couldn't learn. I said, Rebbe, there's 50,000 people die in Bangladesh. And the Hutus, the kid and the Tutsis, and the people dying all over the world. So there's 100 people died in King's Cross. I mean, he said, but 100 people died. What's for the poor wives and the poor children? He hadn't heard of tragedies. One hears of tragedies on a daily basis, and then one coffees, but the coffee falls on your trousers. You care more about the coffee falling in your trousers or your favourite mug smashing than 100,000 people dying in an earthquake in India. We get callous. We get callous by hearing things that are not good for us to hear. We get callous by seeing crimes. We get callous by just the surroundings. And we have to be so careful. And even if a person sees something that's disgusting, he has to know it made an impression on him. And he's got to make a shavua. He's got to make a boundary that doesn't affect him. There's a story of the altar from Kelm. The altar from Kelm once saw a drunkard lying in the street. And instead of shouting the things a drunkard usually shouts, he was mumbling Divrei Torah. Lying in a gutter with vomit all over him, mumbling Divrei Torah. So Alton Kell was intrigued. And he asked his Talmidim, what's going on with this guy? What happened to him? So he said this person was a very, very big Talmud Chacham. And he got involved in whiskey. And one thing led to the other, and this fellow is a full-blown drunk, and that's how he lies every night. The Alter von Kelm said, if that's the case, I make a shavua. I'm never going to allow whiskey to come to my house again. Now, the Alter von Kelm, one of the Balei Musa, one of the biggest Yerei Shammai in the Musa world has ever seen. He can turn into a drunk. You're going to ask, where's the Alter von Kelm? You're asking him for shavuos. Yeah, he's in detox. I mean, can you imagine such a thing? And not the shavuot, he's not going to drink it. He's not going to allow it into his house, because that's what can happen. That is a power of influence. Allow a little bit today, and a little bit tomorrow, and a little bit the next day, Chas v'Shalom, the Alter von Kelm felt he may turn into a drunk. Because that is a power of influence. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo yoshav asher lo holach b'asos v'shoim. First the person goes. And then the yoshav, the omad. Asher ha'ish asher holach b'asos v'shoim. Derech ha'toyim omad, he doesn't stand. He just sits. First the person walks past, and he stands and he sits. He comes actually part of it. One has to be so careful not to be involved in influence. There's once a boy in yeshiva who asked his mashiach to move him out of the room. So that one boy is a terrible influence to him. So he said, okay, give it a couple of weeks. After a week the boy said, Rebbe, you have to move him out of the room immediately. He says, why? You're getting worse. He says, no, I'm realizing it less. That is a powerful influence. Even if she could say in the good Alehem, it's disgusting, it's morose. Still, you have to make a shvu, you have to make a boundary not to come anywhere near these things again. Yeah.
Shifa, I was wondering about this pasha, making sure. I thought it was something we were encouraged not to do.
In this context, it talks about shvuah. So obviously, a person shall make a shvuah. Should be very careful not to make a shvuah. I'm saying a shvuah means a boundary, a guard, not that shouldn't go over something.
And kiruv?
For sure, a person should make a shvuah. For kiruv.
What?
I'm sorry?
Would it be nice, for example, a person might say, Lidayda, I will not go to such and such a place?
Yeah. If a person goes to a place where he feels that he's going to get bad influence, yeah, for sure. A person is influenced by what they see. If what they see makes an effect on the person. There's once a bocha who asked Rabbi Elalapin, I think he told you this before. He went to Rabbi Elalapin and he wants to go to a secular wedding. One of his relatives wants to go to a secular wedding. I told you this, didn't I? So he said, you want to go to a secular wedding? He said, but you realize you may see things that aren't particularly suitable for yeshiva bocha. He says, Rebbe, I'll be fine, don't worry. So he said, okay, you can go, but do me a favor, I'll give you a phone number. You've got to phone up one guy before you go. Gives him a phone number. The bocha phones up, and who answers? Hello, this is Dr. Yosefson's surgery. Can I help you? He said, I don't understand. Rabbi Elalapin told me to phone you up. He says, who am I speaking to? He says, this family practitioner. You know, this is a doctor's office. He said, okay, I'll phone you back. Let me get back to Rabbi Elalapin. So we go back to Rabbi Elalapin. Rabbi Elalapin says to him, why did he ask you to phone the doctor? He said, what do you mean? He asked you to go to a wedding, said it won't influence you, so obviously you must be very sick, because a young healthy boy gets influenced by seeing scantily clad women dancing around. So you must be ill. I want to send you to your doctor, and this is something which is important for you to go to. This is very serious. So this is mamish, and what you see in effect, if you think it doesn't, it does. Yes. Joel, I'm saying something about Kiruv.
Kiruv, the definition
of
going into
the place of Yeshiva.
So you bring
it
into your house. You also
go in. The Chazanish was asked by, as far as I remember, the Rosh Yeshiva, when he very first started, he started his first Yeshiva in Bnei Brak. I'm not sure exactly, but right. Before he started, maybe after he started. And he called it was called Shema Yisrael or something.
Before Osamaya.
Yeah. He wanted at that time to send people out to the Kiruv around the world. And he explained to them that my idea is to make Kiruv branches around the world with people who are going to be from people who are going to bring up kids there, obviously. You're not going to just leave a wife and do commute. So Chazon Ish says, if a person does Kiruv, and what's going to be the kids? If a person does Kiruv and works to change Shemayim, he has special self to Shemayim, his children will not be affected. And Lemaisa is an unbelievable thing. Unbelievable thing, you have people living in Las Vegas and all over the world, and the children, Baruch Hashem, it's Kadosh and Tahir, especially after Shemaya. Talking about Mokin Mitzvah, Shulch Mitzvah in the Zokin, but a person has to know sometimes one does get affected. I know, you know, I'm teaching on anyone, right? Craig, when you teach on on fellowships,
you do
get affected to a certain level, but that's a shayla you have to ask, and it's a rabbin against a yochid. It's a rabbin against a yochid. You do get affected.
But then the
parents have said shema, the children will not be affected by it. Let's move on. The Pasuk says, for Atin Nesavim Hayom, I just want to move back a moment. The Pasuk says, Atin Nesavim Hayom. The Pasuk says, I want to go back to the beginning, I'm sorry. The Pasuk, there is a Medrash. The Medrash says as follows, that Klal Yisrael, after hearing the 98 klolos, hayriku pneihem, their face turned green. There was such fear, their face turned colour. So Moshe Rabbeinu bore the faisal. Moshe Rabbeinu came to appease them. And he said to them, don't worry, atem nesom hayom kulchem lefnei Hashem alekeichem, you're all around, it'll all be okay. So the Dubna Magid asks, I don't understand this. If Moshe Rabbeinu is there to scare the wits out of them, when he's successful, fantastic, leave them. Let them wallow in their worry. What's he coming to do afterwards and saying to them, you know what, everything will be okay, don't worry, you've lasted so far, you'll last longer. If you didn't want to worry them, why worry them? What's the point of getting them all afraid and saying, that, don't worry about it, it's okay. So the Duma Magi says a beautiful mashal. He said there was once a Ben Ashir, a boy who came from a wealthy home, who's always had the best of foods. Very spoiled, nicely looked after. And one day he comes down with a terrible illness, terrible disease. They call him the doctor, and the doctor says the only way to cure him is to pump his stomach. It's totally to drain all the food he has in his stomach. He has to vomit. That's what he has to do. So the father said, how are you going to do this? He said, very simple. I'm going to take some disgusting drugs, terrible drugs, and it's going to be so disgusting I'm going to drink a bit and I'm going to throw up. So the father said, please, my son has always had the best of the best. Why put him through such discomfort? Please, I beg of you, don't give him these sharp things that are going to affect him and make him vomit like that. Do something else. Don't give him these stuff to swallow. So the man said, okay, I'll do something else. So he came and he collected all these herbs, huge amount of herbs, all this with a terrible smell, and he started to cook them in the room of the boy. And once the boy started smelling them, the smell was so disgusting he vomited, and all the food came out, and that was enough. Says the Dovin Magid, Hashem doesn't want to give us klolos. Be sensitive, Hashem doesn't want to give us klolos. Hashem says it's enough if we're just afraid. It's enough if we have just a Yirei Shamayim. The fact that we just have the klolos, our face is actually turned green, because we lost color and we're so afraid, that's all Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted us to just have the fear of the Yirei Shamayim. Hashem doesn't want to give us klolos. Once the drugs of klolos took its effect and Klal Yisrael were afraid, that was enough. Moshe Rabbeinu could even fight them. That's all he wanted. He wanted to cook up the fear of klolos into Klal Yisrael. And once that was enough, he stopped. And that, the idea behind that is that Klal Yisrael, what's that?
What's the finish? Whenever you threaten something, the idea is that you don't want to actually carry out the threat. You have a threat to perform the behavior.
Do your kids always go to bed on time, Joel?
Do I want them to go to bed on time, or do I want them to go to bed late? And
no, 1 second. If your kids, right, don't go to bed on time, so your wife says to them, you wait till daddy comes home, right? But don't worry, daddy's so kind. He's never hit you senseless till now. He won't hit you senseless now. Everything will be fine. You know, he hasn't broken any bones till now. He won't break your bones now. Either you say, don't wait, either you're strong and you get the kids panicking and you go to bed.
Well, you know, I mean, Reinhardt has to choose punishment that isn't realistic, that doesn't have any effect. But we choose punishments that we are going to implement and which they're not going to like. And because we're not afraid to implement them, the threat has an effect. But ultimately, we would rather have the behavior than have the punishment.
These all did take effect. 65 years ago, all these colors took effect. All of them took effect. It was the other.
What's the Chiddush saying? The point of delineating consequences is to say that you don't actually want to impose the consequences, you rather the behavior change.
There's no behavior changing here, they just turned green. They didn't say, oh, you're going to do tshuva now. Once they saw that it took effect, that's all Hashem wanted. You didn't see a change of behavior.
Yeah, then once I see my kid's face flash, when I say, if you do this, maybe this is going to happen, then I realize that that's enough.
Yeah, but you don't fight them. You don't say, okay, don't worry about it, it'll be fine. That'll come down.
It's in your hands. And suddenly it's in the hands of punishment. You do this, or you don't do that, and everything will be fine. It's in your hands.
My question was, why is Moshe fight them? Why did he say everything will be fine? Just let them turn green. That's it. And then they have their choice to change or not to change. He must have been actually appeased them. He actually took away from what he said beforehand. Why did he do that? Because that the punishment was gone. The effect was the punishment was a klala, was a threat, rather than what's going to happen from the threat.
Why is that true? Why is it enough for Hashem? Hashem wants Yerushalayim, not Yerushalayim. Is it actually make a difference? If Yerushalayim is going to be appeased straight away, then
That is a chiddush. That you've hit the nail on the head. The chiddush is HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes Yerushalayim for Yerushalayim's sake. Yerushalayim's sake itself is worthwhile. It's very powerful to have Yerushalayim itself, even without actually doing something right now. The Yerushalayim itself of just having the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the effect that Moshe Ben wanted to have. No, not accepting him. You're fearing Hashem. It's a mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. It's a mitzvah, one admitted to me, this is Yiras Hashem, to fear Hashem. It's to love him and to fear him and know he's the only God and nobody else besides him. That sort of basically cuts out the Christianity part. But it is part of his Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem is a mitzvah Seder Asa, of to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that itself has an effect. You see the Gedolim in Elof. The Gedolim and Elo, they were different people. They were different people. There's one Gadol, the Reb Elia Dushnitzer, the Mashgiach of Lomja, the tremendous tzaddik.
Of what?
Of Lomja.
Okay.
Lomja was a yeshiva. No, Lomja in Litter. He's a tremendous tzaddik. He used to, on Friday afternoon, during the whole Friday, they say, before Israel had cut toilet paper, there wasn't such a thing as cut toilet paper. So what he used to do was, while he was learning the whole Friday, he used to have the room full of toilet paper rolls, and he used to cut toilet paper the whole Friday, and on Friday afternoon before Shabbos, he used to go around to every public toilet, every public lavatory in Petach Tikva, where he lived, and he used to place there, cut toilet paper, people should have to cut toilet paper on Shabbos. Friends study. They said, during Elul, when he was called up, when he was called up to the Hizyahad al-Aliyah on Rosh Hashanah, he could barely get the words out of his mouth, he's trembling so much. He could barely get the words out of his mouth. Rabbi Chetzkel Levenstein, he has asked not to be called up on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because he thought he'd collapse if he had to say the Baruch Hashem in front of everybody. Yerushalayim itself, just knowing what Elul is all about, just knowing Rosh Hashanah is all about, that itself has a tremendous effect. The famous moshel they give of a person who two people coming towards a border, they're smuggling stuff. You know the famous story?
Yeah.
Yeah? You know the famous moshel? Two people smuggling stuff, one guy smuggling tobacco, the other guy is being a driver for him. They know if they get caught, the driver who's smuggling the stuff, he's going to get his horse taken away. But the other guy who's going to be sent to Siberia, the other guy who's smuggling tobacco, he's going to get all his money taken away, he's going to be hard labour, who's more worried? The guy who's smuggling the stuff, right? The guy who owns it. The guy who's actually doing the smuggling, he's also worried. What's the one thing that's not worried when it comes towards the border? The horse! The horse is not worried. He says certain people, when it comes to Elul, when it comes to closer and closer to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the people who know there's a lot to lose, they get fearful. And the people who know understand greater and greater the level and the extent of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, shake and they tremble. But who are the people who are not afraid of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? The horses. Yeah, people come to shul Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you know, they pay their dues. Yeah, and they sit down, and it's an annual get-together, you know, and they catch up all the old news, and every now and then they hear this crazy guy blowing his horn or something, you know, and they try to outbid each other, you know, everything better that year by the bookies, you know, they try to outbid each other for the aliyahs, and they're horses, Nebuch. They don't realize. Yerushalayim itself has an effect. Rabbi Yisrael Weiter. The pasuk says, "Choftes, choftes, hanisorais l'Hashem alekenu, v'hanigloys lonu uvanenu ad olam, la'asois is called divrei hatorah hazois. The nisorais are to Hashem our God, v'hanigloys, and those are revealed are to us and to our children. Ad olam, la'asois is called divrei hatorah hazois, in order for us to do the Torah." So again, there's Gemaras in Sota that discusses this in Sanhedrin. I mean, but the Chasam Sota says something very nice. He says that we do not know how many nisim are being done for us on a day-to-day basis by Kadosh Baruch Hu that saves our life. We have no idea how many failed attempts there are. of people trying to kill us or trying to maim us, how often HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves our life. All we see is never the times HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows them to kill us. How many times from the Bria Sa'ilam until Klal Yisrael came into existence, the Avraham Avinu was born, and from Avraham Avinu to the times today, how many persecutions and executions and massacres, and Klal Yisrael is still alive. We don't know how many Nisim HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to us. The only way we can see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of the world and does Nisim for us is the fact that today Klal Yisrael is still keeping the same Torah they kept 3,500 years. That is a tremendousness that is still a Klal Yisrael that keeps the Torah. Which other religion has kept their religion the way they kept it at the beginning? 3,500 years. That is what we're saying over here. Hanistoris Hashem Alekeinu. The Nistoris, the Nisim of Nistoris that Hashem does, only Hashem knows, Hashem Alekeinu. But the Niglois, that we see is an openness, that Hanigloys is the fact that Lomu Uvanenu Ad Olam Las is called Divra Torah Hazois. That Kodesh Baruch Hu promises us that forever and ever, us and our children will be learning Torah. That is a tremendous ness. And as a ness golly that we can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu with. And throughout today, where it's never ever been, there's such a thing as a Baal Tshuva process. Where people, not only are keeping the Torah, but people are actually coming back to the Torah. People have had no upbringing, had no religious upbringing whatsoever. On the contrary, there's a cynicism. There's a hatred to a certain level, and still people are coming back to the Torah. That is a tremendous ness. There's a ness God you have to thank Kodesh Baruch Hu Yom V'Layla, that Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us within this generation an understanding and a realization what is real, and we have to thank Kodesh Baruch Hu that we are Ashrein Matev Chalkeinu Manoim Goyer Aleinu. How thankful we have to be that Kodesh Baruch Hu allowed us to have this clarity, because that is a ness that none of us could have managed without Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk says, as follows, Re'ei. See, this is Pasuk Perek Lamed Pasuk Tesvav. Re'ei nisati lefnecha hayoi mesachai mesatoiv ve'esamoves esura. See, I put in front of me today hayoi, today esachai mesatoiv, life and good, ve'esamoves ve'esura, death and bad. Asher noichi misavuka hayoyim na'av at Hashem alekecha lechum sibrocha v'lishmu v'soyis v'chul koyso mishpot v'yisa v'risa v'vach Hashem alekecha shat v'vach shom rishto, etc. etc. And the Pasuk says, u'bacharto b'chayim, please, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, choose life. Choose life. So the very beautiful muscle I saw of in one of Sifrei Musa, they say like this. There's a muscle of a farmer who the first time in his life had come out from his little village, living in his village all his life. He was 40 years old and he had never left his little farming village. Day to day, you know, the day to day adventures of the archers. You know, this is the archers. Oh, the goat's not at all well today. That's where he lived. That his whole excitement was the archers. Yeah, he lived on a farm. It's a serial on a BBC. Ridiculous, people laugh on a British farm. That was their life. You know, the goat's pregnant and the pig gave stillbirth, and then you know that's mummish. You know, the whole the politics all went on there. They didn't come. It did come to help feed the cows that morning. Anyway, that was his life. One time in his life, he decided he's going to the archers. Anyway, one time in his life he decided he's going to widen, he's broaden his horizons. So he said he decided he's going to go to his local train station and buy a ticket and see the world. So this fella comes along chewing a piece of wheat in his mouth with his farmer's hat, and he's got a big bundle of money, his life savings, and he comes to the station clerk. And he said, I want to buy a ticket. So the station clerk knows who to diddle. He says, oh, ticket? sells him a first class ticket. Yeah, you get a cut. Sells him a first class ticket. Okay, a lot of money. You know, it's as much as 26 chickens he works out. Fine. He takes the ticket, puts it in his pocket, and he stands in the station. Now, suddenly this big roaring monster comes into the station. He's petrified. What are you supposed to do now? Doesn't know what to do. It's big. And he sees a group of people standing on a platform. So he waits. Like, the group of people wait. But don't get on. These people just standing on the... All of a sudden, the train begins to move. And all of a sudden, there's a huge dash for the back doors. And these guys jump onto the train and open the back doors, and they jump on the train, and he runs off and jumps on the train too, and he gets in the back doors, and they all start scuttling, hiding under the benches there, and it's filthy on the floor. It's a place where they keep all the animals. It's a cattle truck where they keep all the animals and stuff, and he's hiding there under this filthy on the floor there in the pitch dark. Thinks to himself, you know, this I've been waiting for all my life. I waited all this for my life. You know, this is what it's all about. He thinks, look, maybe it gets better. All of a sudden, there's a big noise and a big, strong light comes in. The conductor comes in through the doors. And he says to them, get out from under there. You think I can't see your fat legs sticking up under that thing? Come out. And they all come out and it's all dirty and black as hand. And the conductor says, you bunch of criminals, I'm going to get every single one of you. You're going to come to the next train station. How dare you come on the train and try and not get around us by not paying? So the farmer says, what are you talking about? I paid. You didn't pay. Show me your ticket. Shows him his ticket, and there he's got a beautiful first class ticket. So the conductor says to him, you're crazy. What are you doing? It's lying on the floor in the cattle truck. You should be sitting in first class. This is mamish, the way people live. People, Hashem gives us a Torah. Hashem gives us b'char to b'chaim. Hashem gives us a first class ticket. You go through life, not talking about olam haba, in olam hazeh, in this world, a person follows a Torah. He has a different quality of existence, a different quality of life. His day, he starts off with the brachas. He knows how to get dressed. His marriage is different. His children are different. His relationship with people are different. And what does he do? He doesn't know what to do. He follows everybody else. He goes to the movies. He listens to
the archers.
Exactly, Joel. Thank you very much. Yeah, he listens to punk rock. I don't know, whatever it is.
Hey.
That's one of the better things he does. And this is what a person does. This is a shtus a person picks up from the Goyish world when he could be sitting in first class, he's lying on the floor copying everybody else. That is the way they travel. So he travels with them like the way everybody else travels. We have to know that the Goyim and the secular world have nothing to offer us more than we is a life of a frum Jew. Nothing. We have the opportunity to travel first class. We have to use it, otherwise we're lying on the floor with all the bunch of other criminals in a pitch dark when you could be sitting in a plush first class. What's that?
When does the conductor come along and say you've got a first class ticket?
When he comes to Torah Safran, Joel. Click on our website, www.torahsavram, and lo and behold, something or another. Yes, and there we have it. Yes?
What about the large percentage of the from world who's going first class and still sleeping on the floor in the caravan?
Now I'm going first class.
No, I'm saying it's a cold situation where there's not much we can do, where people are keeping the mitzvahs and not understand you've got the...
They're crazy.
I'm saying.
No.
He's talking about, what are you talking about? Are you talking about guys who keep the mitzvahs still going to the movies?
No, I'm talking about the physical conditions of the people who keep the mitzvahs.
Right.
They got to sleep
We're not talking about that. That's not what we're talking about. I tell you, these people wouldn't be willing to swap for anything in the world.
They wouldn't.
You say to them, you know, I'll forget about Shabbos and I'll give you $1 million. You're crazy. You go to these people's houses, they invite you in for Shabbos. They're the happiest families. And you get these people with these huge houses, they're with the ranches and I don't know, somewhere out there in the Midwest. These people are miserable. These people have life. This is the famous mindset of Reb Zusha. Reb Zusha was Nebuchadnezzar and back and beyond, the middle of a broken down hut in the middle of the woods. So his wife wasn't well, his kids weren't well. So he said to him, go and ask Reb Zusha, the other artist brother, the go and ask Reb Zusha. Go ask Reb Zusha what it means, Tzadik Viralo. So he went to ask him, what does Tzadik Viralo? He said, don't ask me. I don't know. Can't ask me about Tzadik Viralo. You gotta ask the person who's Tzadik Viralo. For me, it's excellent. Yeah. These people don't complain. It's the people that have chosen it as a way of life. Yeah. They're happy people. People with not two pennies to rub together. We live in a generation and areas especially where people, the poverty here is unbelievable. But people chose, you know, to keep mitzvahs and they're very happy. Money is not, the suicide rate around Bukharin is a lot lower than you have around Hollywood. A lot lower. It's because not that many rivers around here, but still, it's a lot lower. What's that?
We can't afford the means to do.
It doesn't cost much. A little knife and a wrist doesn't cost much.
Do you know the vaccine protests now that we've cut the child subsidies or anything? We're not going to see any protests in Rockville because people are going to realize that this is the life they've chosen and they're just going to accept it.
I don't think they're going to turn irreligious because of that.
Sorry?
I don't think they're going to turn irreligious because of that.
So why isn't that something that many people have decided to live the life, which means their life standards, and they're better at they're going to complain if they are not.
Because it's hard. But do you think people are going to have less children because of child subsidies? Power tried the same thing as Tommy Lapid.
People would have fewer children if they feel they can't afford it.
Not any of these people. I'm telling you, people who have 11, 12 children are not going to stop having a 13th child because Tommy Lapid cut down the child allowance. What's that? No, he's a running push for it. Wherever it is. Okay. Did that as a mayor. Both said, let's move on. There is here a beautiful posuk, which in one stage, on one hand, looks extremely sad. On the other hand, it's very comforting. Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Ches. The Pasuk says, V'anochi haste pana b'yemahu. On that day, I will hide my face. I'll call haro asher oso on all the bad I do. Kifono el Elohim achirim, because he turned to strange gods. Says the Gemara in Chulin, Dav, Kuf Lamed Tes. The Gemara says, Mikan she'esem min haTorah. From here we know esem min haTorah. Vanochi haste ashe pana b'imahu. We have Esther. Very nice. Beautiful. Almost rhymes. Haste ashe, Esther. Almost rhymes. Now we know Esther. What's the idea behind it? What's the strength behind this pasuk? So, the Bnei Maggid again gives a beautiful mashal. He said, there was once a son, obviously a prince, who got sent out by his father. And this boy is devastated. He feels alone, he feels dejected, he feels vulnerable. And he goes through a dark, dark forest and all of a sudden a bear attacks him. And as a bear attacks him, about to pounce on him, there's a shot that rings out through the trees and the bear falls down dead. Amazing, amazing, what a miracle. Next couple of days later, he's going through a town, and all of a sudden behind a pillar there's an enemy, one of his father's well-known enemies is about to stab him in the back. And as he's about to stab him in the back, the fellow gets shot in the arm and the knife falls from him and he runs off. And this happens 2, 3, 4 times, and this boy realizes that although his father's thrown him out and he's Nebuchadnezzar, he realizes that there's a control behind what's going on. He's still being looked after. So I'll hide behind the trees, I'll stay in my palace. But look at Esther. Look in the time of Klal Yisrael, with Achashverosh, she wanted to wipe out with Haman together the whole of Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made natural quote-unquote events that eventually got rid of Haman. and put Mordechai back as a leader of Klal Yisrael. But Moshe has to ask upon I. Fine. But behind all the has to ask is this whole story of Esther. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a chain of events that saves Klal Yisrael. However terrible things look for Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is controlling every smallest event that's going to happen to Klal Yisrael. Even in the darkest times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped us. Even the concentration camp, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped us. There's a story I read of a man who was in Bergen-Belsen. And one day, there's a free man who's approached by an individual who's willing to sell him a pair of tefillin. But the condition of purchase was that he has to give him 8 days ration straight. 8 straight days ration of bread. He's every day for the next 8 days, that's ration, right, in American. 8 days ration, for 8 days he has to give him his bread.
You say rations also.
You say rations? I say rations. Fine. So this person thought, the little piece of bread I have every day, it's hard enough to keep me alive. How will I manage for 8 days? But he decided that his love towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu is a mysterious nefesh of tefillin. Maybe he'll pull through somehow or another. So he promised this person to give him 8 days to give him 8 days, and he put the tefillin on, and he was singing in his bunk. He was delighted to wear the tefillin. That day, he was approached by another Jew, who told him as follows: that a German villager had come to him and said to him that he needs an electric drill. And if this person gives an electric drill, then he will reward him amply. So this man said to this fellow who bought the tefillin, he said to him, listen, I know you're an electrician, you work in the electrics department of the camp. Do me a favor, steal an electric drill, and we'll share up the reward. So that night he went, while he was working there, he smuggled into his toolbox an electric drill, and he brought it back to the other man. The man gave it to the German, and the German gave them, for the consecutive 8 days, two loaves of bread, one for this man, one for that man. For the next 8 days he had a whole loaf of bread. So he'd never eaten his life so much. He'd never eaten his life since he was thrown out of his house in Germany. He'd never eaten in years so much bread like he ate that week, those 8 days. But Moshe has to ask upon Abayim Abu. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the darkest times. It helps. The closing verse Rebbe talks about, just it came before Pesach, and he said to his Talmidim, if Hashem wants us to have matzah, we'll have matzah. The Talmidim says, how are we going to have matzah? How are we going to have matzah? How is it possible? He said, we have to have a munah shleima if HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us here as well. We'll have matzah if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have matzah. They didn't believe it. It came two days before Pesach. And the Allied bombers bombed the station, the local station, and completely knocked the whole station down. And the workers in the concentration camp were forced to go out there and to save whatever they could from the trains. And what was bombed in the station? A whole train full of wheat, carrying wheat. So they filled the pockets with wheat, and they ground it into flour, and it took water, and they made it into matzah. V'anoichi hasa asaponai, which means however bad things are, v'anoichi hasa asaponai, behind it there's an Esther, behind it there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's hand, who ultimately will save Klal Yisrael. If we just have the Yirei Shemayim, we have the understanding that Kodesh Baruch Hu loves us, Kodesh Baruch Hu is behind us. We have the understanding of Bechavta Bechayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu Ezes Hashem will give us a Ksiva V'chasim Ateva. The next year, obviously, will not be a Chumash year, because there's no Parsha next week. Okay, it's Rosh Hashanah. So the week after that will be Parshas Hazino. I'll be happy to give another Parsha here. Maybe. Okay. Yeah. See ya.
So the camera.